last song that we sang, how great the Father's love for us. Every time we sing that song, it brings tears to my eyes. Because if it wouldn't be for the cross, I wouldn't be standing before you this morning. I know that for a fact. So I'm very, very grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for the invitation. Steve had called a few years ago and asked me to do the outdoor service, and my wife had surgery just prior to that, and I told him we won't be able to make that happen. So thanks again for inviting me this time. And plans have changed. I love outdoor services, but I love services like this as well. So if you have your Bibles, and I trust you do, I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 9. And as you're turning there, I came across this little story. There were two boys walking down the street, and the one boy says to the other one, "My dad is an accountant." And the other boy said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah. What does your daddy do?" "He's a lawyer." "Honest?" "No, just a regular one." There was another man that was driving out through the country, interested in buying some land, and he stopped at a farmer's place, and he said, "How does the land lie around here?" And the farmer said, "The land doesn't lie. It's the people that sell the land that lie." You know, laughter is good for us. Laughter is kind of the jam, like on a piece of toast. It makes it a little bit better. It adds flavor and it keeps it from being dry and it makes it easier to swallow. I enjoy life. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Laughter can be encouraging, and laughter can also be used in a shameful way, because we can laugh and make schmutz over other people. So laughter can be a good thing. So happy Father's Day to all of you out there. This morning the message is geared towards fathers, since it's Father's Day. In Genesis it tells us that Methuselah was 969 years old when he died. And Noah was 650 years old when he died. Now imagine being 900 some years old and hearing, "Hey, Dad," for all those years. Could be really encouraging depending how your relationship with your son, right, or your daughter. But I'm reminded of the universal nature of the name Dad. It's a one-size-fits-all. I'm also reminded of the incredible responsibility we as fathers have and the great privilege all of us who answer to, "Hey, Dad," have at least one child who looks to us or looks towards us for protection, love, guidance, friendship, training, and yes, discipline. And much more. God knows the responsibilities and the joys of fatherhood because He is our Heavenly Father. And as our Father, He will give us what we need to care for our children. We have two girls, ages 16 and 13, and we were married 11 years before we had children. So we might look at children a little bit different than those of you that had children very early in your marriage. We feel very blessed to be able to have two girls. But imagine hearing that, "Hey, Dad," for 900 years. Noah, we're going to look at his story this morning. Noah made sure that his sons and his sons' wives made it into the ark with them. and how God shut the door. We all know the story, how Noah found grace in the eyes of God, the Bible tells us. And it also tells us in chapter 9, verse 6, that Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, meaning blameless or having integrity. And how God in chapter 7 invited Noah to come into the ark. And he said, bring your sons and their wives, because you are righteous before me in this generation. What a testimony for Noah. But sadly, Noah's story doesn't end there. We know how the floods came when they got into the ark, and how it rained, and how they were in that ark for however many days, and the waters went down, and they landed on dry land, and Noah and his family started over. We would say in a new creation. Let's pick up the story in chapter 9, verse 20. I want to read verse 20 through 29. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son, what his younger son had done to him. Verse 25, and then he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. He shall be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant, and God enlarge Japheth. And may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. We see here in Noah's life, and I look at these verses, and to me they are very, very sad. Because I think of my past and what God has set me free from. So these verses, as I read these, really, really speak to me as a dad, as a husband. But I see something here in Noah's life, that the heart of man did not change at all during the flood. Drunkenness and sexual looseness are trademarks of pagans, like the world that they had just gotten delivered from. So how do we bring this setting into our lives today? What can we glean from this short portion of Scripture and apply it to us in everyday life? Well, let's look at some of the things that took place in this little setting here. Ham, Noah's son, got a cursing instead of a blessing. All because of what his father did. Think with me this morning. How many children in our world today are suffering because of the actions of their dads? Many, many, many children. And it's not just the children out there in the world, so to speak, but they're in our settings, because the dads are not taking responsibility. Many children are suffering because of the way their fathers are acting. And many children don't have a role model to follow because Dad's not there. And they have no chance unless someone helps them. In chapter 5 and verse 32, Ham is listed as the middle child. And here Noah says, my younger son. I don't know that it matters where Ham was born, but I believe all these three boys were older now and they were married. But instead of covering him, Ham told on him. He told Shem and Japheth. And it's not clear to me why Ham had to be cursed for his father's sin. I don't understand that. Just like I don't understand why this morning I have the privilege to be a Christian and to share his precious word. And some of the friends that I hung out with in the years past maybe had their lives taken from them. I don't understand. Why some of those things happen. But Ham is the father of the Canaanites in the Old Testament, and their abomination towards God was their sexuality. Read about that in Leviticus 18. Why it had to be this way, I don't understand. But I know this one thing. It all happened because Dad got drunk. As I look at this story, I see Noah not being a man of character. Now, I'm not standing up here this morning and trying to convey to you that I am perfect. Not at all. And I realize Noah wasn't perfect. Nobody was perfect except Jesus Christ. But when I look at a husband or a dad and the picture of the family, what took place here was pretty devastating because it affected Ham's life greatly. So the title this morning is, Let's Be Men of Character. Because fathers, your children need you. They really do. They need us. One of the saddest stories I've ever heard was of a father. When he went to work, he was supposed to drop his infant daughter off at the daycare center. And his mind was preoccupied and he forgot. And she was in the car all day long in the heat of the summer. And when he left his office or wherever he was working and got to his vehicle, his young daughter had passed away. That father has to live with that memory all his life. That is very, very sad. And while this dad inadvertently forgot his child, many dads today are deliberately forgetting or abandoning their children because they are pursuing their selfish desires. They forget their children when they engage in an extramarital affair. They forget their children while they indulge in pleasures or become preoccupied with work, money, sports, or any number of distractions. And as they do, their children are left without guidance that only a dad can give. So dads, don't forget your children. They need you. They need you. I had a great relationship with my parents. I lived at home all my life before I got married. I was 29 years old when I got married. I put my parents through a lot. My name was in the paper way too often, and it wasn't for my accomplishments, believe me. But I never had a reason to move out. My parents were always there. I knew they didn't approve of the life I was living. But I didn't want to go anywhere else. And my dad was there when I needed him. There was 11 of us in our family. I was the youngest one. And at the supper table, sometimes in the evening, it got pretty lively. And I remember one time my brother Mose, he had gone to Dover somewhere, and he came home with a little thing to exercise, like 5 springs on 2 handles, and you pull it out like this. And I remember my 4 brothers sitting there at the kitchen table trying to pull this thing apart, and they couldn't do it. And then my dad said, "Get me, Mose." "Give me that," he said. And I can still see him sitting there, just putting it all the way out. That was the first time, probably, I don't know how old I was, that I was really proud of my dad. The other time I was really proud of him was on the Sunday morning when we got baptized. He gave his blessing to me and Gladys in our walk of life. I will never ever forget that. Your children need your affirmation. Now, if your son is playing sports and he's up there at the plate and playing baseball, and he strikes out, don't sit in the bleachers and yell, "Good at bat, son! Great at bat!" No, it was not a great at bat. We don't want to give our children false affirmation. So we need to be careful there. But you can take your son aside and say, "Hey, we can work on that a little bit," or do whatever. But I think many times people get false affirmation. And that's not good. My dad was a man of few words. I remember before we were married, we'd go visit maybe in the evenings or whatever, or even after we were married, and my wife said, "Your dad doesn't talk a lot, does he?" He didn't. And when I became a pastor, some people said, "Can he even talk?" Talking about me. I'm pretty quiet myself. Usually. Now, I can get into it. If I play a game or play sports, those types of things. But my dad was a very quiet person. And we had a great relationship. And I know not everybody has it like that. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, "Man, my relationship with my parents was anything but like that." And if it is that way, or if it was that way, maybe you could break that cycle, especially with your children. But even if you at all can reconcile with your parents, so very, very important, I believe. The first time I remember working with my dad was 44 years old when I was born. I'm the youngest of the children. And I remember my dad took a week off from work and we were going to fix fence. And that was the first time that I remember actually working with him a whole lot physically or whatever. And we were out there fixing fence and he was hammering in them stipples, you know. And I was, I don't know, 10 years old maybe, I forget. And I told him, "Let me do that." So he gave me the hammer and the stipple, and I was like, it didn't work. And I can still remember him saying, "Bubli di harshna lat falana." Boy, you got a lot to learn. But you know what? I took it to heart. I didn't get upset at him. Sometimes you hear people say, "Well, my dad told me I can't do anything." But if you're a child, and if you realize that you're trying to do something and it doesn't work, and your parents or whatever tell you, you have to learn, don't get upset. Think a little bit. Honestly, that is correct. But sometimes I feel we get offended way, way too easily. A man who was grieving over his father wrote this: "I am crying not only for my father, but for me. His death means that I will never hear the words that I always wanted to hear. That I'm proud of you. That I'm proud of the way that you live your life and the family you are raising." Too often, I believe, there are tensions between fathers and children that are left unresolved. Old wounds remain unhealed, and we are unwilling to forgive the angry words and hurts from the past. But for the sake of your families, we need to do what we can to dismantle the walls of separation between us. So, fathers, this morning, the question I have for us is, how is it in your generation? How is it in your generation? Can we change some of those things? Ham did not have his father's blessing, but he got a cursing. In my way of thinking, Ham had no chance. He had no chance in life. All because of what his father did. In my opinion, he got a raw deal. So, dads, this morning, I want to challenge all of us. Let's not give our children raw deals. It's up to us. Because of our actions, let's be real men, men of integrity and character, men that our children can be proud of. Maybe there's someone sitting here this morning that is thinking, "I need to go talk to my dad, or my son, or my daughter." Just last night, I messed up by how I responded to my daughter. And I went to her later and apologized. We're not perfect. Nobody is. But when we mess up, make it right. I believe everyone that is sitting here this morning, if we are very, very honest, when we mess up, we immediately know it. But many times, we don't do anything about it. And for us dads, when we mess up, we need to admit it. There's a saying that says, we don't always have to bat 1,000. Only when we fly airplanes or do heart transplants. But I think as dads, our desire should be, especially with our relationship with our wife and our children, we should strive with all our hearts to bat 1,000. And I know that's almost an impossible task. But let's be a man of character. Let's be real. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Peter, I believe, here in the first part of chapter 3 is addressing the husband and wife and what their roles are in working together, all for the glory of God. But then in verse 7, he begins and says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them," talking about their wives, "with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." You know, he tells us that we are to honor our wives so that our prayers are not hindered. That is a high calling. So this morning I challenge us as dads. How is it between you and your wife? If I would talk to all of you individually as husband and wife and give you a piece of paper and tell you to write a number on there between 1 and 10, how you feel that your relationship is with each other, and then I would look at those papers and show them to you, do you think one would be like a 9 and the other one a 5? That wouldn't be good. But if they could be like a 9 and an 8 or a 7, that now we're getting there. But we are to honor our wives. And there's nothing we can do more for the sake of our children than to honor our wives as men. And then I believe in verse 8, Peter, I think, is shifting gears a little bit, not talking necessarily just to the husband and wife anymore, because he says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may indeed inherit a blessing. I think what Peter is saying here is that we can apply these verses to husband and wife and children or church family. What Peter is saying here is, have compassion. Because compassion and selfishness cannot coexist. They are two opposite. They cannot coexist. They can't coexist between husband and wife and parents, or children and parents and fellow believers. It doesn't work. It just does not work. And it's easier said than done. Verse 9 tells us that we should not return evil for evil. It is much easier for me to stand up here and tell you that than to actually practice it and follow through. But Peter is telling us that we are called to this, he tells us. We are called to that in verse 9. We are called to do this. Now think about who's writing this. It's Peter. Who would understand better than Peter about compassion or returning evil for evil? Think about what he did when Jesus was arrested. How he denied him 3 times. And then how Jesus came and had compassion on Peter. Not returning evil for evil, but he showed compassion. Peter understands what he's saying here. That is how I believe he says we are called to this. We are called to be like Christ, to show compassion to the husband and to the wife and to the children and vice versa, and to our fellow believers that we worship with. We are to show compassion. Peter is telling us to be real. The difference between this portion of Scripture that we just now read and the portion of Scripture that we read about Noah is simply this. As fellow believers, you and me are filled with the Holy Spirit, and because of that, we have the power and the authority to forgive and to have compassion. Because of what Christ has done for us, and because He lives in us. And it's by His grace that we are able to fulfill those things. The term plastic is often used as a cheap substitute. It can be used to describe an individual who appears phony. There is no substitute for the real thing. Being genuine is a matter of personal character. Horace Greeley wrote this: "Fame is a vapor, popularity an accident. Riches take wings. Those who cheer today will curse tomorrow. Only one thing endures, and that's character." If you want people to believe your words, enjoy your company, or trust your promises, you must be real. A person of character. While others see only the outward you, the Lord sees the real you. Some noticed only David's handsome appearance, but God declared him a man after my own heart. In 1883, the United States government minted the Liberty Head Nickel, which was stamped with a V, the Roman numeral 5. Regrettably, the words "sense" was absent. Con artists quickly discovered that a thin plating of gold over this nickel could pass for a $5 gold piece. The most famous of these nickel thieves was Josh Tatum, who would buy a 5-cent item in a store and pay for it with a gold-plated nickel and walk out of the store with $4.95 in change. Josh Tatum's phony gold pieces inspired the old explanation for a prank: "I was just joshing you." We've probably all heard that. Don't be joshing anyone about your spiritual character. Be real. Plastic disciples are a dime a dozen. And when I read this portion of Scripture here that Peter is writing, he wrote it understanding and having experienced compassion from Jesus Christ. Unbelievable compassion. And he's telling us, if we are in Christ, we are called to that same standard that Christ showed to him. And when Peter is writing this, and to us dads, he's asking us to be real, to be men of character. And I can assure you, he's not joshing when he tells you that. So I want to encourage you as men. Be serious about your families. Because there's someone else out there that is very serious about disrupting families. And dads, we need to be aware of it. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll turn the time over to Steve. Father, we thank you this morning for just this privilege we had of gathering together like this. And Lord, I pray a special blessing upon each dad here this morning, including myself. Lord, help us to take our rightful place. Help us, Father, to love our wives and to honor them, so that our children can have a role model to look at, so that they can see a picture of the Heavenly Father in us. And help us, Lord, when things do happen, because they will, because we live in a fallen world, not to return evil for evil, but to show compassion and love. And help us to walk through these situations together. So, Father, we thank you for each person that is represented here this morning, for each family, for all the children, Lord. Just bless them in a special way. Father, we thank you for the invitation to come and to share in this way. And Lord, we want to be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.